2 months ago, the Internal Revenue Service announced it was investigating the NAACP for possible violation of its tax-exempt status. The trigger was a speech last summer in which the chairman of the NAACP implicitly criticized the Bush administration and seemed to endorse John Kerry. The law forbids charitable organizations, educational and religious groups, groups known as 501c3s, from taking part in political campaigns. In this post-election period, the IRS is investigating the alleged political activities of dozens of nonprofits, among them a number of churches. This week, a coalition of charitable groups wrote a letter asking the IRS to reconsider its probe. Diana Aviv is president of Independent Sector.
We started our letter by saying that we are very much aware that by statute, nonprofit organizations classified as 501c3 organizations may not participate in, intervene in any political campaigns on behalf of or in opposition to candidates for public office, and that we think that that's a good thing. Having said that, we were deeply concerned that this went further than interpretations in the past and was going to the very question of the right of nonprofit organizations to advocate positions or oppose policy positions consistent with the mission of those organizations.
Have you heard back from the IRS?
No, we just sent it this week.
Well, the IRS has investigated various groups in the past, among them the Heritage Foundation, the Sierra Club. I mean, what is it doing now that's perhaps different that prompted your letter?
What is different here is that it goes to not the question of endorsing a candidate or opposing a candidate, but specifically in their memo to the NAACP, they say, and I quote, specifically in a speech made by Chairman Julian Bond, Mr. Bond condemned the administration policies of George W. Bush on education, the economy, and the war in Iraq. And if you look at where the NAACP has been on those issues, they have condemned prior administrations on education and the economy. Of course, the war in Iraq is new to this particular administration. But this is not a position that has been inconsistent with what the NAACP has long held. And so it is not going to the question of endorsing or opposing a particular candidate. It's speaking to the positions that the NAACP has long held. And for them, it's a matter of principle and the fundamental right to petition government protected by the Constitution, by the First Amendment.
Congressman Walter Jones of North Carolina also worries about the IRS investigating nonprofits, but for a completely different reason. He thinks the law forbidding charitable groups from endorsing political candidates should be abolished, at least as it applies to churches. Jones has proposed such a bill 4 years in a row and plans to try again next year. He contends the tax code was never meant to muzzle religious institutions.
It all goes back to 1954. Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson had the H.L. Hunt family in Texas opposed to his reelection to the United States Senate. He put an amendment on a revenue bill going through the Senate to stifle a 501c3 think tank.
And so you don't think this was ever intended to separate?
I've done a lot of research, and everything I know that Johnson's former chief of staff, who's now deceased, has been quoted in a publication of saying that he was sure that Johnson did not intend to stifle speech in the churches and synagogues of America.
So we're preachers and pastors and rabbis before that 1954 openly endorsing political candidates?
Oh, absolutely. Let me share one thing with you. I can tell you, if you look at the history of this great nation, you will see that the spiritual leaders of America from the beginning of the Constitution on were speaking out frequently on the moral and political issues of the day.
Well, many would argue that under the current tax code, they do. The line is drawn where they specifically endorse a particular candidate.
Jennifer, this past year in Kansas, the Main Street Coalition, which is a subgroup under the Americans for Separation of Church and State, they were in this past election monitoring certain churches in Kansas. This was a newspaper article. I've actually spoken to a minister at one of these churches, and he said, yes, we know when they come to our service on Sunday, they kind of, he said, have a spotlight on them, and we know who they are. This is my concern, and I am of the firm belief that every spiritual leader in this country needs to have its First Amendment rights returned so that if they choose to preach and speak on the policy and moral issues of the day and would like to say the name of a person in office or out of office, they should be able to do so.
That may not be technically allowed right now, but lawyer Bruce Hopkins says it is happening despite the law. Hopkins specializes in tax law for nonprofit and charitable groups.
There have been so many violations of this law over the years that they can't be counted, and it really happens a lot during a presidential campaign year, and it certainly happened a lot this past campaign. I've seen and read about any number of instances where members of the clergy endorsed candidates, the candidates appeared during church services, spoke. So the law is violated quite consistently.
Well, how common are IRS investigations, and how are they usually resolved?
Quite uncommon, actually. There have been very few instances over the years where the IRS has audited or even approached charitable organizations for allegedly participating in political campaign activities. And so it is a vague area of the law of tax-exempt organizations, to say the least. And the IRS has to be faulted here because it's had 50 years to promulgate some clear authority on this subject.
Does the law put a damper on political discourse, do you think? And should it be changed?
Obviously, the law puts a damper on political discourse in that it is an absolute prohibition on charitable organizations' participation in political campaigns. So if you read the law on its face, it simply takes the entire charitable community, including churches, out from political campaign participation. As far as the assertion that the statute is unconstitutional, I think that is baseless. The thought is if an organization wants to participate in politics, for example, it's free to do so. It just can't do so and have tax-exempt status. So I don't think a challenge to this provision on constitutional law grounds would be fruitful. And as far as your last question, should it be changed, that's really a policy issue. And as long as that law is on the books, then the IRS has a responsibility for enforcing it and for levying the sanctions when there's been an abuse.
Tax lawyer Bruce Hopkins. The IRS has not said whether it plans to levy sanctions against any of the groups it's now investigating.